We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into this week's Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Jamar Jefferson, our guest, coming up here in a moment. And just a reminder, our thanks to On Point Community Credit Union, providing local communities with the banking and lending solutions we all need to get ahead. On Point is a proud sponsor of Oregon State Athletics in this podcast, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity. A real pleasure to have Jamar Jefferson joining us this week. Jamar, how are you today? How's practice been going so far this week, getting ready to come home to Cal?
I feel good. You know, our first week of practice is game week. Went well today. Can't wait for Saturday to come.
Jamar, when it comes to soreness in a typical week of college football, what part of the week is the worst? Is it Sunday morning?
Yeah, probably that Sunday morning after the game, really just being sore and going in and lifting, you know, getting the soreness off of you, just that next morning after the game.
Jamar, we appreciate you taking time. And on a podcast, we like to not only just talk about what's happened so far, what your expectations are for Cal, et cetera, but kind of get a little bit more of your backstory. And it's a pretty interesting one, and we're grateful that you've ended up at Oregon State. It seemed that you had a comfortable relationship early in the recruiting process. I know we've talked to you about this before, but if you don't mind revisiting a little bit, when the two parties, yourself and Oregon State football, how that relationship began to form.
It really formed in high school around my like junior and senior year. I always had a relationship with Coach Petrie when he was at Montana State. So when he came over here, we just kept in touch and we connected.
What is it about Coach Petrie that you were comfortable with, the connection there that was strong?
Really, he used to call me weekly, almost every day, not only talk about football, but talk about life, talk about my family and asking how they're doing and how am I doing in school and other things. So I thought that was really, really big for him.
So he's recruiting you out of Montana State. Was there ever a time, Jamar, that just in your own mind, in terms of your own confidence, where you might end up in college? That's a good program, but here you are now, one of the stars in the country in a Power 5 in the Pac-12 at Oregon State. But were you thinking at one point in your life that that might be the Big Sky and Montana State might have been an avenue for you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, coming out of high school, I didn't really have too many big offers at Big Sky schools and Mountain West, and a couple of big schools came late. So, and towards the end of signing day, I started getting my scholarship pulled, and I was just settling down for a school, and Oregon State came through.
John Warren with Mike Parker here, as we are really pleased to be able to talk with Jamar Jefferson. Is it about relationship with you? If it sounds like it is, that you've put a lot of weight on that. So if anybody came in late, were you gonna budge, do you think, from Oregon State because of your relationship you'd built up with Coach Petrie?
Yeah, I think relationship plays a big part in recruiting players. You know, just having that connection. And you know, me and Petrie basically have one of the same backgrounds. We grew up in the same place, so that was none of those guys that I knew I could trust.
Did it matter to you when you're thinking about going to school, about the academics at the school, and even where it's located? Or were you sold from the football standpoint that being within the football program, that's a culture in and of itself, and it wouldn't matter where you were?
It really didn't matter what place I was at, just the culture itself and just picking a place where it feels like I'm home and I'm safe, you know?
Mm. Jamar, back a little bit to what changed in your recruiting. You made a choice to leave Redondo Union and go to Narbonne your senior year. What predicated that move? Why did you end up doing that, and how helpful was that in your development as a person, student, running back, et cetera?
I ended up doing that because when I was getting recruited from Redondo, a lot of the coaches used to say that the competition level wasn't high enough. So I decided my last year to go to a bigger school and a bigger football school, which was Narbonne High School. And I performed there. And it was better. I was playing against better competition on a better team and, you know, the big stage.
And Jamar, to do that, is it an open situation where did you have to drive farther? Was it difficult to the logistics of changing high schools?
Yeah, I'd say the same distance. I used to take the bus and the train to school every morning. We used to wake up around 5 or 6 a.m. and take the train and bus to school every day.
Wow.
Jamar, Coach Douglas has built something special at Narbonne. Tell me a little bit about playing for Manuel. I know now that he's at St. Bernard's, but to get into that program, to your development and growth, how helpful was that to be in Coach Douglas's program?
I think he's a great coach. You know, he developed me to be college ready and be ready when I get to college. You know, he's a great person. I felt like everybody that was on the Narbonne coaching staff was great. You know, they all treated us well with good respect.
Jamar, the recruitment then, you know, to get into a program like that, the stories I've read suggested that while you were intriguing to a lot of the Power Five and big schools, they talked about, well, we'd like you to be faster. We're concerned about your speed. You're a good back, but your speed. You took that seriously enough, from what I've read, that you went out for track your senior year at Narbonne, just because, whether it was true what they were saying or not, you wanted to make sure that wasn't an issue at all. So did running track help? Did you learn some technique and improve your speed?
Exactly. I improved my speed by a lot when joining the track team my senior year. You know, I wanted to join the track team so I can prove the coaches that I have breakaway speed and have that true speed. So I ran the 100 and 200. The 200 was my favorite race. I ran 21.9. And in 100 meters, I ran 10.6 at the state track meet.
So how did you feel when you were hearing from people that, hey, we're concerned about your speed? Did you feel like they were wrong about you, or did you even feel like you had to answer those questions yourself, hence going out for track?
I felt like they were wrong about me. I see It's really, I have that sneaky speed. Mm-hmm. I think that I can say about myself, I have like sneaky speed. I might not look fast, but I'm fast.
Well, you also have that ability to power over guys, and that's kind of been what we've seen these first 2 weeks of this year. I thought you had answered a question to the main media earlier this year, last couple of weeks about putting on more weight in the weight room and concentrating on running over guys. Are you kind of looking at the power game for yourself right now as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this year I tried to focus on getting bigger and getting stronger in the weight room so I can last 12, 6, for 8 games and, you know, take them hits.
You've carried it 21 and 23 times. Do you feel, and B.J. Baylor is such a good back as well, how do you feel about how much you get to carry the ball? I remember a coach said years ago, well, you handed the ball off to your back 42 times. Why? The answer, well, the ball's not heavy. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about the amount of carries, but do you feel like that load 21-23 is about right with BJ complimenting you? Or would you, you know, if depending on the game, can you carry it more? Would you like to carry it more?
Yeah, I feel like 20, averaging 20 to 15 carries a game is good for me. You know, I obviously wouldn't mind getting more, but 20 and 15 would be a good average for me. And with BJ, hopefully, well, him getting around like 15, too, also, that'd be good.
Fascinating. What if you had a game where they handed off to you 28 times, could your body handle it?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, my body can handle it. You know, I worked hard this off season, so I can get ready for that.
Not only that, Jamar, you worked hard. The things I've read about you is you're constantly, when you were in high school, working on how can I get better? And with Coach Petrie and your coaches now, how do you go about that? What's your plan of attack as a football player to get better every day? What are some of the things you do during a season, even now, to try to improve? Is it film study? What are the things you work on constantly?
Constantly, I constantly watch film, watch extra film with my coach. I'm constantly stretching, make sure my body is right, constantly in the training room, make sure my body's right. Just doing extra things after practice or, like, extra sprints after practice if I need it, or, like, doing cut drills after practice. Just making sure I'm on top of my game and making sure I'm ahead of the game.
You have one of the great nicknames of all time, but I've always felt like I don't know you well enough, even when I'm calling games, to call you Munchie. But everybody that I talk to, if I talk to about Jamar, they say, well, Munchie, Munchie this, Munchie that. I know it's a story that's been told a few times, but I've never really heard it directly. How did you get nicknamed Munchie, and is that what your teammates and almost all of your good friends call you?
I got it way, way back in, like, first, second grade. You know, I used to bring snacks, and my parents used to buy me snacks every day to go to school. I used to bring honey buns and all type of different snacks. My friends and teachers always used to call me Munchie, like, you always got the munchies. And I used to always eat in class, so that's where I got it from.
So moving forward then, can my friend Mike here invoke that every once in a while on the play-by-play?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good one. Hey, T.J. Hushmanzada, you know, former Beaver great, said, and I don't know how this all works, when somebody as talented as yourself, Jamar, ends up at a place, everyone wants to take a little bit of credit for it, but T.J. Hushmanzada said, hey, the best back in the city is Jamar Jefferson, and you need to recruit him. Have you ever talked to T.J. at all about that? I mean, did you feel like you were an underappreciated person in the city and that T.J. and others did help give you a little bit of a boost?
Yes, when the coaches came, the whole coaching staff came to my house when I was a senior in high school. Coach Smith had me talk to him, and he talked to me about, you know, the Oregon State program and how I fit well in it. And, you know, just, you know, giving me the goods and insides on Oregon State.
All right, with that, let's take a quick break right here and remind you that all of our podcasts are brought to you by Toyota. And yes, Beaver Nation, the answer is yes. We're doing cutouts in the stadium. With the help of our partners at your local Toyota dealers, Toyota will help plant a tree for every cutout to help the Beaver State recover from the devastating wildfires this year. Buy now to get the very best spots in the stadium this year. And by the way, keep your eye out for cutouts for Gill Coliseum. That's the next thing coming up, and you can learn more at osubeavers.com. Today's show and every show every week is brought to you by Willamette Valley Vineyards. Beaver fans, have you joined the Game Day Wine Club created by Willamette Valley Vineyards? Members receive special benefits, and portions of the sales go to support the Fermentation Science Program at OSU. Sign up today during this podcast at wvv.com/gameday.
And Johnny, in this halftime break, as it were, we're going to get back to Jamar Jefferson in a moment, but it's time for another edition of Great Moments in the Rivalry Series, brought to you by the Rivalry Series partners. This week, Pacific Source Health Plans and Spirit Mountain Casino. The Rivalry Series, of course, the games with the team down the road. And in 2002, at Reser Stadium, Steven Jackson put on a show of speed and power. And just as we've celebrated Ken Simonton, Evanson Bernard, Jaquizz Rodgers, this week our podcast with Jamar Jefferson, Steven Jackson was as great of a running back as the program has ever seen. And this play highlighted for me what the 2002 game was all about.
Kenny Farley in motion through the formation from right to left on first down. Give it to Jackson. Jackson tries to pop it outside, breaks a tackle. He's at the 10 to the 5 and in. Touchdown, Beavers. Steven Jackson, and the Beavers take the lead.
Power and speed on display. Steven Jackson, the best combination in the history of the program of both. Jamar Jefferson, before it's all said and done, may have something to say about that. But that was another great moment in the Rivalry Series, brought to you by Pacific Source Health Plans and Spirit Mountain
Steven,
Casino.
Steven had 8 pounds on Jamar. He was 225.
And he had a couple of inches, several inches, too, at 6'3".
Yeah.
And Jamar Jefferson, though, as Jimmy Lake said, he's a big one. He plays big.
Yeah.
And we get back to the conversation now with Jamar. And it sounds like the classroom and doing well academically and being in a major that you enjoy is important to you and was a part of the decision. How, in the Zoom world and the world you're in now trying to balance everything, how is the school piece going, Jamar? How are you enjoying it, the education thus far at Oregon State, and what are you majoring in?
I'm really enjoying the education part of it. I think education is really important to me. Last term, I had a 4.0. I major in sociology, which I think that's really great to learn about, and that'd be my plan B if the NFL doesn't work out, is to work with special kids and work around kids that need help.
Very nice, very nice.
How did that become important or appeal to you, Jamar? I mean, after your long career in the NFL that's coming, perhaps you can get to that anyway, but how did that become important to you?
It really came important to me when I started to grow up around like 10, 11, my dad used to work with kids like that. And I always thought that it was a great thing that he was doing for them. So that really inspired me to help kids out too.
Very nice. I want to go back to your when you were learning about Oregon State. What were you a fan of college football, and who was your team when you were growing up?
I know the answer. Go ahead.
Growing up, obviously coming from LA, USC was my college, was my favorite school, and Oregon just because, you know, I knew a couple people that went there, and you know, their uniforms were nice. Basically, honestly.
Yeah. No, that's totally understandable. And you come from an age bracket where you guys are targeted that way. You're targeted through video games and through flash and dash with uniforms, and that's completely understandable. You're a little bit younger than my son, so I get that. Now, when did you know much about Oregon State, or were you focusing all your attention on those two schools just as a fan, or did you kind of follow the league and watch games?
I know about Oregon State. I definitely know about James and Jaquiz at a younger age, and I knew about Brandon Cooks and Otto Cinco growing up, but, Reggie Bush was one of my favorite backs coming up, growing up from, where I'm from. Hmm.
You grew up, from what I understand, just a few blocks from USC, and your mom, Tracy, graduated from USC. So the Trojans were a big part of your life. How did your parents feel, and your mom in particular, an SC alum, when this whole Oregon State thing began to come into view? Were they all supportive of you? Were they hoping you might stay and try to go to USC? And SC did come in late. How did that all play out with your family?
I remember when I got it, I was in class in high school, and the USC, one of my coaches from high school told me that USC offered me, and I called my mom right away, and I told her, and then she started crying, like it was quiet, and she started crying. And then we talked it out, and then I told her, but I'm not going to go, And then she, started to break down, like, what, Jamar? Hmm. Like, why not? And I told her, like, I just feel like it's not the best fit for me. I want to, explore around the world and go somewhere different and make a name for myself.
And how has that subsequently, Jamar, is your mom all in on the Beavers now, I hope? Is she okay with the choice you made now?
Yeah, definitely she's okay. She comes to all the home games. She tries to go to all the away games, but, she always here supporting me.
Talking about wanting to get out and see other places, does the weather here get you down, or have you been here long enough to know, and even in the off season, that we have beautiful summers, long stretches of great weather, and there's a lot of outdoor stuff to do? Do you like your choice from a standpoint not outside of football?
Yeah, I really like it. It's very different from LA, more city. It's more outdoors. You can go to the lake and floaters, or do a whole bunch of other things. I definitely feel like it's been great outside of football and school, just being around the campus and the community.
Jamar, final thing, and that is a game Saturday against Cal. You didn't get to play against them last year, but they're good defensively. You've gone to work on studying them. And I know everybody on your team at 0-2 believes you could easily be 2-0, play here and there. I wonder two things. One, when you look at the unfortunate spots that took place on your runs on third and fourth and inches, when both times it appeared to all of us that you got the first down and you guys would have ended up scoring to take the lead, we all believe. How do you deal with that personally? When you look at the film on all of that, are you angry? Is there anything else you could have done differently? How do you view those plays in the fourth quarter in Seattle?
After watching the film, I was kind of down on myself. Obviously, I was pretty mad after the play and that they caught it. But honestly, I should have just never left it in the ref hands on their decision. I should have made it, got the first down for even more yards or even a touchdown. So that's how my mindset is.
I do want to ask one more question to clear this up for myself. It looked like you were laying on top of a guy, so technically you weren't down yet. Why would they even blow the whistle? Was that true, or had your knee already gone down?
Yeah, technically I wasn't down yet. I was laying on top of somebody. So
yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Strange play, and who knows what would have happened had they made the right call. But that you can't do anything about it now. You move on. How do you feel, Jamar? And this is the last thing about trying to beat Cal, come together with all phases offensively, working with Tristan in the passing game, complementing the run game. What's your sense about what's ahead for Tristan, the receivers, working in sync with what the offensive line and you guys are doing in the run game?
I feel like we're going to have a good week of practice. Today was a good week of practice. lots of energy, lots of contact. And I've been seeing Tristan work with the receivers out after practice on, you know, timing and his routes. That's really it.
Jamar, thanks for the time. It's a pleasure. We're glad you made the choice to come north to this beautiful part of the world. And it's been a joy to watch you play and to get to know you a little bit. Thanks for the time today on the podcast. We look forward to seeing you Saturday at Reser Stadium. Thanks, Jamar.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jamar Jefferson, our guest on the podcast, also brought to you in part by Lacrosse Boots. Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. And when you need a pair of boots in the rain that has come upon us, it's Lacrosse Boots to turn to since 1897.
And special thanks to Oregon State eCampus. The world has shifted towards online education, and no one does it better than Oregon State eCampus. You can choose from more than 75 programs and earn your degree online from a nationally ranked leader in the industry. Learn more today at ecampus.oregonstate.edu.
And finally, Beaver Nation, we know you won't be able to visit the store, although that with the shutdown, the 2 weeks that we're in, the OSU Beaver store has had some special hours. Those changed for a while, but you can still go to osubeaverstore.com to get all of your Beaver gear up and get ready to cheer on the Beavers wherever you may be this weekend and the rest of this unique and challenging 2020 season. The OSU Beaver store has been your authentic source for Beaver gear since 1914. Go Beavs. And that's going to do it for this week's edition. Really enjoyed the conversation with Jamar Munchie Jefferson. And John, since you asked him, do I have permission? I may have to throw in a Munchie.
Throw it
this,
in.
I
wanted to get that clearance for you.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that, Doc. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll try it again with another edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast presented by On Point Community Credit Union. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.